Greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to be in the house of God to worship. Obviously a little different than what we've been doing, but different is not necessarily a bad thing. I think different can be good. I think we can all edify each other as we're doing that. What I had to share this morning actually is article out of the Bethesda Still Waters that was a blessing to me. We just got through traveling a lot this week and had some very close brushes with other vehicles. Too many of them this time for some reason. And one time I was just convinced it was going to connect. But I think the hand of God came down between or something because the other vehicle was right there. I was expecting it to hit, but it didn't. And anyhow, there's different things. So we were visiting with somebody else up in Bell Center and just talking about the traveling and the things that we take for granted in this life. And we just got to talking about traveling. We get in our vehicles, we plan a trip, and we get in our vehicles and we go. Maybe even just a town. Just take for granted we're going to go and come back and everything's going to be good. And as we know with Rick Hickman, things didn't turn out the way that he had planned, obviously. I don't know the details of what happened, but things can happen. And we ask for God's protection, but do we really know what we're asking for when we ask for God's protection? Is it just sort of a form that we go through? Do we really know what we're saying, what we're asking for? Just things that went through my mind. But on this article here, When We Can't See, is what the title is, and it refers to when Jesus, when the scribes and Pharisees brought this woman caught in adultery, they brought her to him, and of course we know how the story went. Jesus sort of turned the tables on them and said, "Now ye who don't have any sin, then can be the first to throw a stone." It sort of turned a little bit. Their aim in doing this was trying to catch Jesus actually in something, but they were also blinded by their own things that they had. Because as soon as Jesus brought that to life, the sins in their own lives, then things sort of changed for them, and we know they quietly went out. And then Jesus told the woman, "Hath no one condemned thee?" And she said, "No one." And then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn thee." But then he also added, "Go and sin no more." I think she was a changed woman from that point on. And then the next verse says there in verse 12, John 8, verse 12, he says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." If we have Jesus within us, then our path will be illuminated because of Jesus within us. We won't have to walk in darkness. We can see where we're going. And this is an experience here that this guy had. I'll just read that. He says, "On a recent trip to town, business kept me until dark or dusk. The parking lot was brightly lit, and not until I was waiting at the stoplight did I remember to turn on my headlights. But I did not wish to dazzle the driver ahead of me, so I intended to flip the switch after I turned onto the highway. As I navigated the darkened streets, I strained my eyes to discern the lane markings. They were hard to see in that area of town. However, just as I began to grumble about the worn-out lines, it hit me. I was only using my parking lights. No wonder everything looked dim. With the headlights on, things immediately jumped into focus. Sure, the markings could have used some improvement, but the danger of traffic accident was greatly reduced. Now, on the road of life, we interact with other imperfect people. Everyone has faults and weaknesses, family members, friends, church brethren and ministers, neighbors and customers. Let's face it, their mistakes can sometimes cloud the way forward. But the same infirmity that afflicts others also infects our own hearts. Our human nature tends to blame personal failures on others' faults. Just as I discovered that dark evening, it's best to first examine our own light source, our relationship with Jesus Christ. Then, if failure needs to be addressed in another person's life, we should humbly approach him in love, as he talks about in Matthew 18 there. Minor failures of others should inspire us to simply pray for their spiritual growth. And as we walk with the Lord, then the verse 18 of Proverbs 4 says, "The path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." We won't, and in the our Sunday school lesson today also, when Jeremiah's was mentioned, Jeremiah was, when he thought about all the calamity and the things that they were going through, the things that they had experienced, it almost took him down. But then he remembered the faithfulness of God. And I think if we can get off of focusing on ourselves and our own things and the bad things that happen and try to focus on how we can help people instead of focusing on the faults of others, I think we can be a lot better blessing to others all the way around. My wife also gave me some, she thought it might be good. So this is, and it didn't quite seem appropriate for her to come forward. So maybe we'll share this. Reading Psalm 77 together. Psalm 77, there's 20 verses there. But if we could, I'll turn to that and read that. And talks about the end of the chapter there, talks about how great our God is. In fact, the heading there, "Who is so great a God as our God?" Our God is great. So if everyone is there, let's just go ahead and read that, and we'll use the Selah too also, and that, and sort of try to read the, observe the punctuations there if we could. So shall we read? "I cried unto the Lord God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord, my soul ran, and the sea. My soul refused to be comforted. I have remembered God and was not complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call the remnants my soul night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will Lord cast off for even, and will the favorable no more in his clean for, but purpose forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he no anger than mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. My way, O Lord, is the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art a God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee and were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out sound. Thy arrows also went abroad. The voice of the thunder is in the heaven. Thy lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. The waves see thy hand. Thy footage not known. the latest people like the flock in the land of Moses and of Aaron. Okay. May God bless the reading of his word there. Okay, and also, I think most of us know the children's song, God is so great and so good and so mighty, or God is so big, so strong and so mighty, if I say it right. And then in the second verse, it talks about he made the trees, he made the seas, and he made the elephants too. I don't know if that's what y'all remember or not, but let's go ahead and sing that, if we can. My God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are his, the rivers are his, the skies are his handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. He made the trees, he made the seas, he made the elephants too. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. Thank you. May the Lord bless.
I can say I was blessed in being here already, and I wish God's blessings to you all. Here some time ago, we know how things have been here in the community of church, some things been going through my mind, and yesterday or day before, I saw a picture on Facebook of a young boy holding his sister sitting up in a tree, and it just struck me. She was sitting there just contently, and his sister is a special needs child. And she was holding an apple. And I looked at that picture, and I thought, what a beautiful picture of the church, how the church should be. We should, each and every one of us are all made different. We should be willing to look out for one another. And not just look out for myself, but one another, just like that little boy was doing with his sister. It touched my heart. I know we're struggling here, but God has a way to move forward. May God bless.
It's starting to feel like we're at an Amish food line. We should see everybody flocking up here. But anyway, no, I was blessed in being here today. it seemed like everything that people shared so far goes with what I felt led that God was showing. I was reading in the Old Testament and many different places, and I was challenged with the idea of am I allowing God to write my story? Do we trust the story that He is wanting to write for each one of you? And as I look at that, I look at Abraham. He is considered a man of faith. You know, we look at him, he's in the hall of faith. You know, it was entrusted to him as righteousness, the faith that he had. And yet, as we look at that story, we see many different times that he was not quite willing to allow God to write his story. He had to be involved a little bit. Like Luane said, it is very hard to sit back and allow God to write our story. We want to be involved just a little bit. And I had to think, when he went down to Egypt, Sarah must have been very beautiful, a beautiful woman. How many of you know what her age was at that point? Stanley? Not quite. She was older. She was in her 60s. But Abraham knew that going down there, the Egyptians are going to be, I guess, smitten by her beauty and will want her. And so rather than trusting God, he sort of made up a half-truth, a little bit of deception. Technically, you could say she was his sister or part-sister, but he made this half-truth. But yes, it did sort of roll, it backfire on him. And you know the story, how that played out. Her beauty was noticed. It brought to the attention of Pharaoh. You know, he fell in love with her, and we know how God worked those details out. Later, he also used similar half-truth with Abimelech. He also noticed her. And then also, when him and Sarah and Hagar decided they would try to, you know, God must need some help here. You know, he made the covenant with Abraham. And so we all know how that story worked out. And we're still dealing with that even today. And so as we look at Abraham, a man of faith, and yet those stories are in there for us too. Abraham was also human, like we are. Abraham made mistakes. And so the challenge for my own self, my own life, and even for our church is, do we allow God? Are we allowing God to write our story, whatever that looks like? I was just really blessed with that. Do I sometimes have to resort to a little bit of deception? We know that there is a lot of deception out there, and so let's allow God to write our story and let His rest, as Lewis mentioned this morning, let's rest in Him. He can do so much more than what we can. May the Lord bless.
So as I was thinking of sharing something this morning, I didn't know how it was going to be. I didn't know if we were going to be picked on or what it was, but I was like, well, I really would like to have something prepared. So I opened my Bible, and this is the first thing that I pulled out of the back of my Bible, and it goes well with what Ralph said, as God writes our story or whatever. As many of you know, I have been to the Philippines several times, and there is a young couple there that they've come a long way in life, I think. And he was a prisoner, and his Of course, obviously his wife was not. And so he was in prison, and his wife would come to the prison there, and they would get to see each other maybe once a week. Imar was his name, and his wife's name is Connie. He is out of prison now, and this is what he wrote, and just bless me. By the way, I think I may have read this here before, but anyway, just bless me. He's out of prison, and him and his wife were baptized together in prison. So it's just it's a great story. This is what he writes. He says, "I'm a winner." The writing is just a little bit different. They don't do English quite as well, so just bear with me there. The title's "I Am a Winner." People almost everyone said I'm a loser because I am behind bars. As for me, I'm a winner. The value of life lies not in the length of days, but in the use we make of them. A man may live long, yet live very little. I know that I'm a winner because I know I'm no longer concerned with the trappings of a temporary pilgrimage in this world. Riches, wealth, and fame, you need to have all of this so that you can set in the standards of this world. I'm a winner because I'm no longer drunk with ambition. It's true, I failed myself in the money game, but I'm not bankrupt in the essentials of life because I have love, I have hope, I have charity, and most of all, I have faith in the living God who will definitely deal with us on the issue of eternity. I thank God because he made me realize that the days are like vapor, and man's life is like a flower, soon to dry, soon to die, and soon to fade away. There was a time when I thought I would remain young forever. Now I see gray hairs starting to appear on my head. Soon wrinkles will follow. Time certainly has a way of reminding us that we are not settlers in this world, but I am no longer concerned what is bound to happen in this decaying world. I am no longer concerned with the journey because I am already focused on my destination. I already entrusted my life and my future to the one who is the creator, the designer, the keeper, the way, the truth, and the author of life, no other than Jesus Christ. Eternity is already set upon my heart. The company I will keep when I get there will certainly surpass the best of what I have now. The wife of my youth will be there. It is my constant prayer that each of my children and all members of my family will accept Jesus as their Savior so that they will be there. Those beautiful people I've met who have given their lives to the living God will be there. I know one day God will set all things right, and it will be better than where I am now. There, nobody loses. Everybody is a winner. And more than the mansions, the gifts, the crown, the victor himself, Jesus Christ will be there, with whom I shall be with for the rest of eternity. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That is why I am a winner. Amen. This was this man's testimony. I just challenge each one of us to have that testimony.
When I was thinking of this week about sharing, I had to think back in way back in my life. It was shared by, Mike was sharing, but protection. Many of you know that I had many different accidents in my life. And one that I remember, it was close to the Yoder Brothers. First one I had there on that 54 and Anderson Drive. I know that God was there. When that vehicle hit me, I was at the edge of 54, just about going down to like where the other person ended up in the ditch. I was, reason I share this, I had two accidents there. It was a time in my life that I was way wondering what's going to happen. I was young boy visiting a family also close to the, could have killed me. Us two, we were out there playing in the hayloft. We were having fun, like all children do, playing in hay and stuff. I came close to the edge. I lost my balance. Landed on my head. There were 10 laying there. Landed on it. Probably today is still a scar there on my head. Where it cut, it could have easily, I could have been probably out there on the graveyard. Different accidents I had. One, last one at the airport, guy pulled out in front of me. That was no way to stop. I could have been killed right there. God was protecting. And with sharing this, the accidents I have already over the years, it was a blessing to me to wake me up to see what God is doing in my life. May God bless.
Good morning. So something I have been thinking about the last while is the issue of the heart. What is in my heart? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That is found in Proverbs 4, verse 23. There's also another verse, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So how do we guard our heart? How do we protect our heart? How do we control it? And that is through asking God to help us, to show us. And a verse I found in Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Just an encouraging word for you. Is God in control of your heart? Is he in control of mine? That is all I have.
Hope it's okay for me to share with you all this morning. About a week ago, we were in Lancaster for a friend's wedding, and we stopped at a coffee shop. Of course, we have to, right? anyway, we stopped in there. It was a really nice, I think, some of us may say, a cute little shop. And, you know, we ordered our drinks, and the people are very nice and everything and what have you. And we stepped out. When we stepped out, I asked Lois, I said, did you notice those people are in support of LGBTQ? She said, huh? No, I never thought about it. I said, yeah, they're a part of that community. I believe most of us, if not all of us, understand what that community entails and what they stand for. She said, maybe we should have thought twice about going in there then. I said, I probably would have too, but you know what? I had to think about it that very moment, and we spoke about it. You know, sometimes we try so hard to say, okay, not going to go there because of what y'all stand for. And, you know, we need to be strong on where we stand, indeed. But, you know, we may be the only light those people see. How will they understand how to come to the truth if the truth has not been given to them? How do they know to walk out of darkness into light if they have never seen light? What, as Christians, what was the message that God gave to us? What did Jesus leave with us as a message? And in the book of John chapter 17, if I may share from verse 14, it says, I have given them thy word, Jesus speaking, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus didn't ask God to take us out of the world. He asked God that he would keep us from the evil. The words of Jesus as well says that, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which art in heaven. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And it is my desire, and I trust that it is each and every one of yours as well, for us to, regardless of where we are, that we may shine the light of Christ and that we may stand firm on our belief and in our faith. May the Lord bless each and every one of you.
Quench the spirit for anyone. If there's someone who still has something to share, feel free to raise your hand. There's still time. Thank each of you for sharing what you shared. I wanted to just take in a few notes here, and I wanted to just take a little recap. Brother Mike shared first about neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more, and about the path of the just being as a shining light which shineth more and more into the perfect day. Robert shared about God having a way for us always. Ralph shared about allowing God to write our story, giving God control. And Kevin had shared about, I am a winner. I had to think of, we use this quote, it's a negative thing, kind of, I can't win for losing. But I like to flip that. I say, I can't lose for winning. And I think that goes with what you were saying. It's a mindset thing of what we believe. Am I a winner or am I a loser? Jason talked about God's protection. God is good all the time. And Gerald talked about the issue of the heart. Where Gerald got to, but anyway. There you are. The issue of the heart, keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And then Lavelle talked about in the coffee shop and about we may be the only light that some people see. I agree that, you know, to make a decision not to go, now I probably wouldn't have gone to the coffee shop anyway because I don't do coffee, but I don't have no problem with those who do. But if we would, you know, look at a certain establishment and say, well, I can't go in there because of such and such, we're probably giving too much power to darkness or to evil instead of trusting God. I'd like to close with the last verse here out of Lamentations 5. It was in our Sunday school. And I have to wonder, with some of the things that Jeremiah wrote in the book of Lamentations, why did he end with this verse? He says, but thou hast utterly rejected us, thou art very wroth against us. And previously he was, you know, writing things like, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. You know, even though the book of Lamentations is a book, you know, written of lamenting, when I think of the book of Lamentations, those verses there are what I think of. God's mercies are new every morning. His faithfulness is great. And then after wondering, you know, is this the same guy that wrote in Jeremiah 31, verse 3? He says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. So sometimes I think some of the verses and some of the things that are written in the Bible are written from feelings of the men who wrote them. You know, David talked about it too. You know, the bulls of Bashan gaped upon me, you know, and he was very expressive in his feelings and the things that he felt. And I think this was a little bit of what was coming out of Jeremiah here. Isn't he the one that wrote that he wishes his eyes were rivers, his head fountains, or something like that, called the Weeping Prophet, and very expressive sometimes in the things that he wrote. But when we look at the Bible as a whole, I believe God, it comes through that God is God, that God doesn't change, and that God is a God of love and of mercy, and he draws us. And yeah, does he utterly reject someone? Well, I think it's more like we reject God, I think is the truth of the matter. But God wrote early on in the New Testament somewhere, if I looked a little bit, I could probably find it, where he promised the children of Israel, I think it was right after the time when they entered the promised land, he promised them that if you are in this promised land, when you forsake me, I'm going to send nations to come in and overtake you, and they're going to take you captive. But then he promised, he said, no matter where you are, and whenever, wherever you are, when you cry out to me, he said, I will be heard of you, and I will restore you and bring you back. And so that bears a different side of this. You know, Jeremiah probably was feeling the darkness and the utter despair. But Jeremiah also wrote of the goodness of God and the love of God and his faithfulness. So I think we need to remember that when we read verses like that. So I'd like to just open it up. If there's anyone else who has anything to share before we close. Thank you, Mike. Yeah, and I think there's definitely a blessing in this of different gifts being used and exercised, and can be a meaningful message. Okay, if there's no one else, why don't we stand at this time for a word of prayer?